Frontier Airlines joins the ranks of the bankrupt. A South Carolina pilot dies leaving Lakeland. And American says it expects normal operations by the time you hear this. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, April 14th, 2008. As the ANN and Aero TV crews departed Lakeland Saturday, we all took different paths to our various homes in cities scattered about the U.S. My itinerary included two legs on Frontier Airlines to get back to Salt Lake. It was the first time I flew on Frontier, and I was very impressed. On time, clean planes, and the gate staff and flight crews were friendly and cheerful. In fact, you'd never guess they were working for an airline that had declared bankruptcy the day before. On Friday, Frontier announced it has filed for Chapter 11, making it the fourth U.S. airline to do so in the last 3 weeks. The Denver-based carrier said the move followed an unexpected attempt by its principal credit card processor to substantially increase a holdback of customer receipts, which threatened to severely impact Frontier's liquidity. The Chapter 11 filing temporarily stays any unilateral change in terms by the credit processor, and Frontier says it will litigate if necessary. Aero News has learned that a Sunday morning accident claimed the life of a Lance Air Legacy pilot departing Lakeland on the last day of the show. 44-year-old Gerald Skolnick of Bluffton, South Carolina, has been identified as the victim, but it's not yet clear whether he was alone in the plane. Tampa Bay's 10 News reports the two-seat experimental crashed about 11:15 a.m. Sunday morning, about three-quarters of a mile southwest of the runway near the 4400 block of Hamilton Road. Witnesses described a large plume of dark smoke, and a small brush fire was reported quickly contained. No one on the ground was injured. There's no word yet on the cause. American Airlines spokesman Charlie Wilson told the Dallas Morning News operations were expected to return to normal by sometime Sunday. At least 3,300 flights were canceled last week for inspections of wiring on MD-80 series airliners, stranding hundreds of thousands of travelers. Customers have complained that the airline has refused to communicate the status of flights and is compensating passengers not with refunds, but with travel vouchers on an airline many swear they'll never fly again. In an interview Friday with Bloomberg, airline consultant Michael Boyd openly accused the FAA and acting administrator Robert Sturgill of playing politics in order to look like they're tough in the face of congressional scrutiny. American's pilots aren't giving the airline that benefit of the doubt. The Allied Pilots Association ran a full-page ad in USA Today on Thursday entitled, "Why is American Airlines Failing Its Customers?" APA spokesman Scott Shanklin told the Associated Press, quote, "This management team is driving reliability down to a point where it will drive customers away. These guys are damaging this once great airline," unquote. American Airlines spokesman John Hotard responded, quote, "We're disappointed that any union would choose negative tactics in a direct attempt to harm the company," unquote. There was some better news in the industry on Friday. Management at Delta Airlines announced it has agreed in principle with pilots on a contract that would allow a merger with Northwest Airlines to proceed. The AP cited unnamed sources close to the talks, saying an accord was reached on Thursday that would raise pilot pay and give them a stake in the combined carrier should the merger proceed. That deal would keep the combined airline's headquarters in Atlanta and would retain Delta's name. For both airlines to move forward in the hope Northwest's 5,000 pilots will join that contract later is a roll of the dice. Pressure on both airlines from stockholders to merge remains heavy. Up next on ANN, T-Alert is selling lots of diesels but has run short on cash. Quartz Mountain gets an FAA type certificate for its revised Luscombe 11E. And a Sea Ray pilot survives a tail separation on takeoff from a Florida lake. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3320.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply canal tips composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Shares in German aircraft engine manufacturer T-Alert AG fell to their lowest levels in 3 years last week after news surfaced that the company plans to raise capital and oust CEO Frank T-Alert. Bloomberg reports the company will sell additional shares to raise 24.4 million euros or $38.5 million U.S. Though demand for its power plants has increased steadily in the past 2 years, boosted by OEMs such as Diamond and Cessna offering new aircraft equipped with T-Alert diesels, the company has a difficult financial history. BHF Bank analyst Jochen Klusmann noted, quote, "The bottom line is the company has booked relatively high sales and profit, but never has had good cash flow," unquote. The company's board also requested the removal of Frank T-Alert as CEO, as well as the ousting of Chief Financial Officer Roswitha Grosser. T-Alert will reportedly continue on as Chief Operating Officer once a new CEO is appointed. Following years of challenges, a small plane maker based in Altus, Oklahoma, might finally be headed for smoother skies. Quartz Mountain Aerospace has announced it recently earned its first airworthiness certificate from the FAA. The plane is an updated Luscombe 11, converted to tricycle gear and called the 11E. NewsOK.com reports the company has also rehired 20 employees laid off last year and plans to eventually hire 125 more. The certificate means Quartz Mountain's 110,000 square foot work floor, which was in danger of becoming little more than a spider habitat just 8 months ago, is now filled with the noises of a busy production facility. Quartz Mountain displayed an 11E at Lakeland with Garmin glass panel and Aspen Avionics as backup. A pilot flying his Sea Ray home-built amphibian to Lakeland last week crashed after takeoff from a Central Florida lake, but he's alive to tell the tale, thanks in large part to the efforts of a friend. Pilot Bill Furr was departing Lake Jessup on Thursday with fellow seaplane flyer Phil Mendelson when his plane suddenly nosed over into the water. Mendelson told the Orlando Sentinel he brought his plane back down on the lake and saw Furr pull himself partly onto the floating wreckage of his plane, bloodied but alive. Mendelson also noted blood in the water and five or six alligators in the distance. So he fast-taxied his plane to the shore near his house, a quarter mile away, and returned in his fishing boat to effect a rescue. Furr is recovering from a broken ankle, nose, and numerous lacerations. Mendelson says a preliminary investigation by the FAA has discovered a loose locating bolt on the Sea Ray's horizontal stabilizer, which apparently caused the stabilizer to separate. The pilot and sole survivor of the April 9th crash of a Cessna 206 in southern Peru says the accident was caused by a woman passenger who became frantic and tugged on the pilot's safety harness. Carlos Bartra reportedly told Aeroica, the operator, that one of the French tourists on the flight panicked shortly after takeoff. Bartra said he tried to turn back to land at the departure airport, but the plane struck power lines and then a three-story building, killing the four tourists. Aircraft are often hired to fly over the Nazca lines. Those are ancient drawings etched into the desert sands created sometime between 200 BC and 600 AD. The geoglyph formation is best viewed from overhead. Still ahead, the FAA wants to simplify the sport pilot rule. Indus debuts the first diesel LSA at Lakeland, and Paul Bonhom looks to be the guy to beat this year in the Red Bull Series. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Shoot happens. Come on, you know it does. Even the world's top test pilots know there are in-flight situations you can't always recover from. Mid-air collision, control failure, pilot incapacitation. In severe emergencies, do what the world's top test pilots do. Use a parachute. Except, instead of having to bail out of a moving aircraft, you can have the safety of a BRS full airframe recovery parachute. BRS has parachutes for an enormous variety of aircraft, from experimental to light sport, and all the way to retrofits on certified airplanes. Shoot happens. Will you be ready when it does? Call BRS today at 651-457-8651 or visit us online at brsparachutes.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, April 14th, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA has proposed amended rules for sport pilots and flight instructors, which appear intended to simplify the paperwork and administer sport pilot in a manner similar to other certificates. Among the highlights are a proposal to issue sport pilot certificates by category and class, eliminating the current system of aircraft groups within a class. There would be no more instructor sign-offs by aircraft group, meaning there would be no point in requiring sport pilots to carry their logbooks on flights, and that requirement also would be eliminated. You have 120 days to comment, and unfortunately, like many NPRMs, this proposal to simplify the regs is thousands of words long, even after editing by the Department of Redundancy Department. If you'd like to read the whole thing, see the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. Remember what the encyclopedia said about diesel engines 40 years ago? How their excessive weight made them suitable only for big trucks and stationary applications like generators? Well, times have changed. On Saturday at Lakeland, Indus Aviation debuted the world's first light sport aircraft powered by a diesel. The three-cylinder, 120-horsepower WAM-120 reportedly burned just 3 gallons per hour on the flight into Lakeland from company headquarters in Texas. Dr. Ram Patisapu, president and CEO of Indus Aircraft, says the company has been testing the WAM-120 for 4 years. Quote, "It's quiet and has unbelievable climb performance, even at altitude. At 14,000 feet, it's still climbing at 500 feet per minute," unquote. Time between overhaul is projected to ultimately reach 3,000 hours. Indus plans to certify its diesel-powered torpedo by Oshkosh this year. Britain's Paul Bonhomme got his Red Bull Air Race World Series season off to a flying start Friday, with a resounding victory in the final against Hans Arc of Austria. Event organizers report over 250,000 spectators lined the beaches of the Corniche in Abu Dhabi to watch the first race of the 2008 series. Bonhomme is an airline captain from Cambridgeshire, who was a runner-up in the championship last season to American Mike Mangold by a heartbreaking fraction of a second. He got sweet revenge Friday in the United Arab Emirates after recording the fastest times in all training sessions earlier in the week and dominating the qualifying sessions on Thursday. And finally, the San Francisco Aeronautical Society, in conjunction with the Pan Am Historical Foundation, told ANN recently of a major event commemorating what is generally regarded as the greatest milestone in commercial aviation history. November 2010 will mark the 75th anniversary of the famous China Clipper flight, which opened the Pacific to the world's first regular transoceanic commercial air service. Pan American Airways' plan to conquer the Pacific came in 1935, during a deep worldwide economic depression. Franklin Roosevelt had just been elected president of the United States, which then numbered 48. The establishment of the Trans-Pacific route by Pan Am came just 32 years after the Wright brothers' Kitty Hawk success, and overcame the greatest technological, geographical, and navigational challenges of the day. The fleet of flying boats captured the world's imagination as they ushered in the age of global air travel. The China Clipper 75th anniversary flight will retrace the Pacific route that departed San Francisco to reach Hong Kong via Honolulu, Midway, Wake, Guam, and Manila, but with a modern aircraft. Find a link to more info from the print version of this story on our website at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves discusses what you can do to remain insurable at affordable rates as you approach age 70. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.